Well, I encourage you to open your Bibles this morning as we study from the Scriptures and follow along so that you ensure that what I am teaching from God's Word is accurate and in accordance with His will. And I would appreciate it and consider you a friend if you would tell me afterwards if there's something that you disagree with or something that maybe I've said that you have a question about. I appreciate Cookie's prayer. And yes, we are going to, as we search the Scriptures this morning, see how what it has to say that we can benefit from. And as Jim read for us from Philippians, the second chapter, that is going to be the text of what we are going to be looking at this morning. So I encourage you, once again, to please follow along as we look at what the Scriptures have to tell us and how we can better live our lives here upon this earth. So in Philippians chapter 2, in the verses 1 through 11 here, Paul says some very interesting things to the Philippian brethren. But let's go back to chapter 1, and beginning in verse 3. Well, let's start in chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. We see here that Paul is in prison. Why is he in prison? Oh, he's in prison here because he was preaching the word. And if you'll jump down in chapter 1 to verse 27 through the end of the chapter there, Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 27, he continues on to the Philippian brethren. He says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. We see here that the Philippian brethren are now suffering for the gospel. They're not suffering in the sense that they need the gospel, but they're suffering for the sake of the gospel. And Paul stresses here to the brethren at Philippi their need for unity in the face of the suffering that they are encountering. So to make this possible, Paul emphasizes having a godly attitude towards one another. And they needed the mind in them that was also in Christ. And that's what we're going to look at in these first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 2. And guess what, brethren? We need that same mind in us today, don't we? So the title of this lesson is, Let This Mind Be In You. And just to give credit where credit is due, I have an uncle that preaches in Florida. His name is Mark Gibson. And he is the one that has put this lesson together. And I think it is well put together, obviously, because it's from the Scriptures. But he makes it so easy to understand as well, just like the Scriptures do. So let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and the first point that we want to look at, and let this mind be in you, is what are we to strive for? Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul here says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we see here that there are blessings that we share with one another as Christians. What are those blessings? Well, let's regurgitate what the Scriptures just told us. There is a consolation in Christ. That word consolation, other translations use exhortation, encouragement, or blessings that are found in Christ. Look at the sacrifice that Christ gave. He yielded himself for what? All of mankind. For sin. What about, there's another blessing that we share with one another as Christians, that comfort of love, isn't it? Comfort in the love of Christ and of God the Father. What about these brethren here in Philippi? They needed to have love for one another. What do we need to have today? Love for one another. There's also, that Paul talks about there, the, in verse 1, the fellowship of the Spirit. They share a relationship with the Holy Spirit through obeying God's word that was revealed by the Spirit. How much more do we today? And then also there is that affection and that mercy. So those are the blessings that the Scriptures reveal that we share with one another as Christians. Well, and then he says in the next verse that there are things we must strive for to share, in order to share for these blessings. And those four things are what he says in verse 2. Being like-minded, having the same love, having one accord, or being of one accord, and being of one mind. You know, if we look at the makeup of any congregation of Christians, we all come from widely different backgrounds. We all have varying differing opinions, don't we? But we must strive to be like-minded, to have the same love, to be of one accord, and to be of one mind, shouldn't we? And we do that through the Word. Then the second point that we want to look at this morning is, how do we achieve that mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you. We've seen what we need to strive for. You know, Paul told the brethren in chapter 1 and verse 27, towards the end there, or let's read it again. He says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one another." Or stand fast in one spirit, excuse me, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he tells them that's what you need to do. And in chapter 2, in these first 11 verses here, that's what he's explaining now, how they need to do it. What they need to strive for now, how do they need to achieve that? How do they achieve that mind of Christ? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." So it's not that selfish ambition or the conceit that we need to have, but, as the Scriptures say, in lowliness of mind, we need to esteem others better than ourselves. What else? Not only to look out for our own interests. We all think about our own interests, don't we? But that's not the only thing that we need to look out for, but also for the interests of others. You know, there's an example of this mindset. Keep your marker or your thumb there in Philippians chapter 2 and go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. We see an example here. Genesis chapter 13. Let's begin at verse 1. It says, "Then Abram went up to Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south, as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren.'" A good example of the mindset that we need to work towards achieving, isn't it? Between here we have Abram and Lot. The land was not able to sustain them. Well, what does Abram do at that point in time? As it says in verse 8, Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." So I don't want there to be discord between us. We are brethren. Do we think that way today? Is that something that's continuously on our mind that we think about? Let's look at the third point here. Let's look at the mind that was in Christ. So if we go back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and we'll read these again. Paul says, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 beginning, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So we've looked at what to strive for, how to achieve it. Now we need to look at the mind that is in Christ in these verses. And the attitude here in verses 5, 6, and 7 that we see, that attitude that is there, that the Scriptures reveal, is being in the form of God. Jesus did not consider it robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but what? What did he do? He made himself of no reputation. Or in essence, some translations use, he emptied himself. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So that's the attitude. That's the mind that Christ had. So the action that we see next in verses 7 and 8 here, we see the attitude that he had. Now that we see the action, the follow-through with that, in verses 7 and 8, "but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." He took the form of a servant. He came in the likeness of men, didn't he? It's so simple. That's what the Scriptures show. And in verse 8, "and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." He was obedient to the death on the cross. Keep your finger there in Philippians chapter 2 and go back to the book of John chapter 17 and verse 5. John chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus speaking here says, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." We see here that the action that Jesus took of taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man or men, and being obedient to the death of the cross was a contrast to the glorious majesty that he had equally with God the Father. I hope you didn't turn away from John, the book of John. Go back to John 1 and verse 14. We could probably quote this from memory, couldn't we? The writer says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the writer says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power, the power of death, that is, the devil, So we see here in these examples, and the point that we're making is that Jesus was willing to walk in our skin, if you will, to use that term, quote unquote, and to submit to the will of the Father. That's the action that Jesus took. That's so amazing, isn't it? The attitude, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. The attitude and then the action that he took to follow through with that. Well, let's look at our last point. Let this mind be in you is what we want to talk about. And mind here, you know, as it says in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Mind here meaning the total content of thought that shapes our attitude and our personal characteristics. Our thinking must create an attitude just like it did with Jesus. Our thinking needs to be that exact same way. It needs to be selflessness, does it not? To where we're not willing to please ourselves, but to look out for the interest of others, to be humbled, to become of no reputation. Is that the way that we think today? Just to ask you a rhetorical question. Is that how you think when you get up in the morning? I'll admit it's a hard thing to do. Because when I go to work, I get in a work frame of mind sometimes, or when I'm playing video games, I get in a video game playing of mind, and sometimes I don't always think the same way that I should. It's important that we have the right attitude and that our thinking create that attitude just like it did for Jesus that we find in the Scriptures. Turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. And we're still talking about letting this mind that Christ had be in us. And we want to talk about the phrase emptied himself from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. I have the New King James Version or translation, and it says, but made himself of no reputation. Now the New American Standard translation says emptied himself or but emptied himself. What does that mean? But made himself of no reputation, or emptied himself. Well, it certainly doesn't mean that Jesus emptied himself of something, but rather empty himself. That lowliness of mind that he had, that humility that Jesus had. He demonstrated what he, while he was here, teaching and preaching on the earth, what he taught then, that we are to what? Deny self. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And Jesus said this right after he had spoke to these individuals about his death and his resurrection. That, again, Jesus is letting them know that this is the mind, Paul is letting the Philippian brethren know that this is the mind that you need to have in yourself. You're suffering for the sake of the gospel. You need to have this mind within you. You need to be thinking this way. Go over to the book of John. Once again, chapter 13 this time. John chapter 13. Let's read the first five verses. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Again, we see here that the example that, and the point that we're trying to make, that Jesus was emptying himself. That lowliness of mind, that humility, wasn't it? Because he goes through and we see Peter saying, "Whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing?" Jesus says, "No, I must wash." You know, Peter says, "Hey, you're not going to wash my feet." What does Jesus tell him? "No, I need to wash you. I will wash your feet." And then Peter says, well, in that case, just wash my whole body. Jesus instructs him and gives him a lesson there. And then look in verse 13 through verse 17 of John chapter 13. Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus, again, the example and the point that we're trying to make through the scriptures is that he demonstrated his own teachings while he was here upon the earth. And that's what Paul is, in essence, reminding the brethren, that we need to be just like Jesus was. That lowliness of mind, that humility, that's the type of mindset that we need to have. We also see that Jesus was willing to lay aside his interests to seek the interests of others. That's what Paul told the Philippian brethren, wasn't it? Not only to look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Well, Jesus did those same things as well. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Paul here, talking to the Corinthian brethren, says, make sure I get the right verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." That's what Jesus did for us. He was willing to lay aside his own interests. In the prayer class that will be coming up on Wednesday nights, we're actually going to talk about that. It's towards the end of the material. We're going to talk about some of the prayers that Jesus made. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in depth at that point. I don't want to do it right now. But Jesus was willing to lay aside his own interests to seek the interests of others first. Look in Romans chapter 15 and the first five verses. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. We see another example of this in the scriptures, of how Jesus was willing to lay aside his own interests for those of others. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, it says, Paul here says to the Romans, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The point being, again, that Jesus emptied himself, to go back to the text that we were looking at. He had lowliness of mind. He had humility. And brethren, we must be of that same mind to have spiritual unity and enjoy God's blessings. If we don't, then we can't. This is very simple. That's the way the scriptures are. And Paul wanted to make sure that the Philippian brethren here understood that they, in their suffering, they needed to make sure that they had this mind of Christ so that they could get through their suffering for the sake of the gospel. And that's the lesson for us this morning. Is the selfless mind of Christ in you? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Is it in me? I need to think about that. I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that. I have to answer that. Do you esteem others better than yourself? I got to make sure that in everything that I do, that I'm esteeming others better than myself. We must be unified, brethren, as we face the world. Because if we're not, we're not going to save souls. We need to fulfill the will of Christ and let the mind that Christ had be in us. That's the point that we want to take away from the lesson this morning. So this morning, it's not been a lesson on what you need to do to obey the gospel, but the invitation is always offered. If there are those this morning in the assembly that have never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to come forward and to make your life right. Or if you just want to study, get with one of the members here. We'd be happy to study with you. Or if you're a member of the body of Christ and you've fallen away and you want to repent of those sins, well, we encourage you to come forward. We'll pray for you and we'll work with you. But won't you come forward and make your life right in whatever means you need to have necessary this morning as we stand and as we sing.